Of all things, Heisenberg began by thinking about electrons' orbits. He imagined an atom in which an electron was orbiting the nucleus at a great distance, more like Pluto orbiting the Sun rather than Mercury. It was to prevent an electron spiraling into the nucleus as it radiated away energy that Bohr had introduced the concept of stationary orbits. However, in accordance with classical physics, the orbital frequency of an electron in such an exaggerated orbit, the number of complete orbits it makes per second, is equal to the frequency of the radiation it emits. This was no flight of fancy, but a skillful use of the correspondence principle, Bohr's conceptual bridge between the quantum and classical realms. Heisenberg's hypothetical electron orbit was so large that it was on the border that divided the kingdoms of the quantum and the classical. Here in this borderland, the electron's orbital frequency was equal to the frequency of the radiation it emitted. Heisenberg knew that such an electron in an atom was akin to a hypothetical oscillator that could produce all the frequencies of the spectrum. Max Planck had adopted a similar approach a quarter of a century earlier. However, while Planck had used brute force and ad hoc assumptions to generate a formula that he already knew to be correct, Heisenberg was being guided by the correspondence principle onto the familiar landscape of classical physics. Once it was set into motion, he could calculate properties of the oscillator, such as its momentum, p, the displacement from its equilibrium position, q, and its frequency of oscillation. The spectral line with the frequency Vmn would be emitted by one of a range of individual oscillators. Heisenberg knew that once he worked out the physics in this territory, where the quantum and the classical met, he could extrapolate to explore the unknown interior of the atom. Late one evening on Helgoland, all the pieces began falling into place. The theory, built completely out of observables, appeared to reproduce everything, but did it contravene the law of the conservation of energy? If it did, then it would collapse like a house of cards. Excited and nervous as he edged ever closer to proving that his theory was both physically and mathematically consistent, the 24-year-old physicist began making simple errors of arithmetic as he checked his calculations. It was almost 3 a.m. before Heisenberg could put down his pen, satisfied that the theory did not violate one of the most fundamental laws of physics. He was elated, but troubled. "At first, I was deeply alarmed," Heisenberg recalled later. "I had the feeling that, through the surface of atomic phenomena, I was looking at a strangely beautiful interior, and felt almost giddy at the thought that I now had to probe this wealth of mathematical structures nature had so generously spread out before me." Sleep was impossible. He was too excited. So as a new day dawned, Heisenberg walked to the southern tip of the island, where for days he had been longing to climb a rock jutting out into the sea. Fueled by the adrenaline of discovery, he climbed it without too much trouble and waited for the sun to rise.